Okay. So, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, perfect. So tonight's shiur is entitled Im Divrei HaRoifei Kveveya Halacha, which means to what extent does the Torah, does the Halacha recognize the medical knowledge, and to what extent are we prepared to rely on medical expertise in order to decide the halacha. Now, it goes without saying that, of course, the Gemara recognizes medical knowledge. We even have in the Gemara's in Gittin, in the fifth parak of Gittin, the Gemara has page after page of all sorts of medicines. I wouldn't encourage anyone to try those medicines today. It's more of these different kinds of herbal medicines that were common back in the day. And the Marsha says that the reason the Gemara brings this whole list of medicines one after the other, they're primitive medicines from back then, which we wouldn't use today. We don't even know what a lot of the herbs are. But the reason the Gemara brought those medicines was in order to show, the Marsha explains, to show that the sages of the Talmud were proficient in the medical knowledge of the time, and in order to show that the Gemara recognizes and respects the medical knowledge of the time. All the halachas are decided based on medicine, based on the medical knowledge and the scientific knowledge. The sages understood things, a lot of things even better than we understand today. And so just on something might be a little bit wrong with my computer. I hope that the connection is established, because I'm having a little bit of trouble. It's a little on the blink. And of course we're soimech on the halacha. The question is that medicine and science is always exploratory, and we're always learning new things. So the question is, to what extent do we rely on it? What status does it have? Does it have the status as fact? Does it have the status as probable? Does it create a suffix? Does it create a doubt? To what extent do we rely on medical opinion to decide the halacha? So the first thing is that we have in the Gemara a lot of examples where the Gemara does rely on the opinion of a doctor. Now, when we say doctor, we're not even differentiating between a Jewish doctor and a non-Jewish doctor. The Gemara discusses relying on a doctor. So some of the cases are obvious, and then some of the cases get more interesting as we go along. So the first example that I brought here was the example of the Gemara Numa. It's brought in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim in Shulchan Aruch Siman Tav Reish Yud Ches Halacha Aleph. So the Gemara discusses where obviously we're required to fast on Yom Kippur. Breaking one's fast on Yom Kippur would be an Isser D'oraisa, which would carry the penalty of Karis. So it's one of the severe Averis to break one's fast on Yom Kippur and to eat on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, we all know the halacha that a person who is suffering, who is in a life-threatening condition, or if the person is ill enough that fasting might cause him to enter into a life-threatening situation, then the halacha is that he breaks his fast. So who is to determine if the person is critically ill or not? So the Gemara says, a choyle shetzarech lechol, this is a quote from Shulchan Aruch, if a choyle shetzarech lechol, if an ill person needs to eat on Yom Kippur, im yesham roifei baki, if you have a doctor, an expert doctor, afilu hu oivin kechav, even if it's a non-Jewish doctor, Sho'omer, and the doctor declares, im lo yachilu oisai, if we don't feed him, efshir shiyichbad olav acholi, it's possible that his condition will deteriorate, the estakin, and he'll enter a situation of sakana, it'll be dangerous. Machilin oisai alpiv, we feed the chola based on the doctor. So here is a clear case where it's an isur d'oraisa, it's forbidden to eat on Yom Kippur. We ourselves would not have realized. We ourselves would not have realized that the person is in danger. It's the doctor, the non-Jewish doctor even, who is the one who informed us that the patient is either in danger already or is prone to become in danger. And the halacha is that we trust the doctor's opinion and we break the fast and we feed the person on Yom Kippur. Here's a clear case where we are relying on the medical knowledge of even the non-Jewish doctor in order to allow the person to eat on Yom Kippur. goes without saying that if the doctor declares the person is going to definitely die, we feed the person in kippur. Even if the ill person feels that he doesn't need to eat, he feels strong. Nevertheless, shoyman the roifei, we trust the doctor. So we believe the doctor over the patient's own hesitations to eat. The patient insists that he's strong enough to make it through the fast, and the doctor says not. We force the patient to eat because it's pikuach nefesh. So we trust the doctor's opinion. Now we have the flip side. If the choyla says that he feels weak and he feels like he needs to eat, then afilu meya roifim oimrim eino tzarach, even if 100 doctors, even if every doctor in the world would say that he does not need to eat, if the choyla himself feels that he needs to eat, shoymin lachoyla, then we trust the choyla. And the Mishnah Berurah says, he cites a pasuk, leiv yodea maras nafshay, because the heart knows It's the bitterness of its soul, right? So it's an expression. Maybe it's talking about a person. He knows what's bothering him. But the Gemara applies the pasuk that the patient himself always knows best when the patient feels weak. Even if the doctor is declaring that he's fit to fast, but if he himself feels that he's not going to make it through the fast, he's going to get into sakana, he will be allowed to eat. So now this halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and it's sort of like a double-edged, it's sort of like a mixed message. On the one hand, we trust the chola, we trust the doctor over the feeling of the chola. If the doctor feels he needs to eat, we encourage the chola, we force the chola to eat, even if the chola himself feels that it's not necessary. So that would imply that we trust the doctor. We're basing the halacha on the medical advice. At the same time, though, if the chayla says he needs to eat, even if 100 expert doctors say that he does not need to eat, we also allow the person to eat. So on the one hand, we are basing the halacha on the medical advice. On the other hand, we're going contrary to medical advice because we don't want to err on the side of caution. if the chayla says he needs to eat, we'll go with the chayla over the doctor. So we see from here that we rely on the medical advice even to be lenient, to feed him on Yom Kippur against the opinion of the patient. But on the other hand, like I mentioned, if the chayla says that he needs to eat, we believe the chayla, we listen to the chayla against the doctor opinion. So it's sort of like a mixed message here. On the side, the Bir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Tiferes Yisrael that although we are prepared to rely on the medical advice, now we have to talk about the credibility of the actual doctor. So I just want to emphasize that there really are two issues here at stake. One issue is, does the Torah recognize medical advice, medical knowledge, medical know-how? So that we see clearly that the Torah, the halacha, is ready to rely on medical expertise. But now we have a question, do we trust this particular doctor? That's another issue. Even if I believe that there's such a thing as scientific knowledge and I am confident in the medical advice in general, but what am I comfortable with this particular doctor? So the Bir Halacha brings from the Tiferes Yisrael that nowadays, he says, we have to really think about, so Yeshli Asyashiv Adomar, he says, I have to really think about this because I see with my own eyes that the doctors sometimes are shafki lehem nusayu. Sometimes the doctors, they themselves sort of overextend themselves. And any single person who's sick, they just like casually or cavalierly say that it's dangerous and you have to break your fast, you might be put in danger. So, and sometimes says the Tiferes Yisrael, the Bir Halacha brings it, that sometimes even a Jewish doctor, he says, Nebuch, the Jewish doctors today, this must have been at the time of Haskalah, and people were becoming, the ghettos were opening up, people were less frum, not observant. So says the Tiferes Yisrael, I see now that even Jewish doctors are suspect to be over the Torah, they're Machal Shabbos, they don't fast on Yom Kippur themselves. So now we're going to rely on his opinion that the person should break his fast. In other words, everything is a shikl. Everything is a judgment. So when the person judges and concludes that it's necessary to break the fast, is that because the person really is in danger? Or is that because the doctor is taking the concept of fasting lightly, casually, cavalierly. He doesn't fast himself. Maybe he's even trying to provoke and cause the Jew to break his fast. So he's giving false medical advice. So the Bir Halacha brings from the Teferis Yisrael, this is an issue. So this is really an issue that's on the side. On the one hand, we definitely rely on the medical advice, and like was mentioned, that Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, we have to, there's such a thing that even the non-Jewish people have knowledge. There's tremendous knowledge out there. But on the other hand, at the same time, we have to be comfortable with the particular doctor, that the doctor is weighing all the issues, putting the proper emphasis on all the issues at stake, and he's not just cavalierly paskening that the person has to eat, not so much because he really needs to eat, but because he doesn't take the whole concept of the fast, or he doesn't take the whole concept of Shabbos so seriously in the first place, so Shabbos is the first thing to go. So we have to be careful that we have a personal confidence in the doctor himself. So these are really the two issues that we have to discuss. Now, that's one example. We have another example, a similar example, in Hilchos Shabbos. Also in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Chaf Ches Halacha Yud. So the Halacha says the same thing that it says regarding Yom Kippur. Kol Choyli, any illness, Sheharoifim Oimrim, Shehu Sakana, anytime a doctor would say that it's dangerous, Afo Pi Shehu Al HaBasar Mibachutz, even if it's an external wound, because the Gemara says off the bat, that any internal injury is automatically deemed a sakana. An external injury is not always a sakana. But if a doctor would rule that an external injury is an exception and it's a sakana, then machal and all of us are Shabbos. We would violate the Shabbos readily. So again, here's another example where we might not have thought that it was a sakana. The doctor is the one who's ruling on the case that it's a sakana, and we base the halacha on the doctor's opinion, and we rely and we violate the Shabbos. See, here's another example where we're willing to violate even an Isser Skila, to violate a severe Aveira of Hill Shabbos based on the doctor's opinion. The Mishnah Berurah says, Afilu Einu Yehudi. The same thing that we say in Hilchos Yom Kippur, even a non-Jewish doctor is relied upon to violate the Shabbos, Kiven Sheroife Umanhu, because he's a professional, he's a certified doctor. If you recall, we talked about the Maseches Avodah Zarah, that you, back in those days, you weren't even allowed to subject yourself to a doctor because the doctor himself might be out to kill the Jew. But that was talking about an uncertified doctor. If you have a Roifei Uman who has his reputation at stake, so you can rely even on a non-Jewish doctor. Now, that's the halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, even if it's a non-Jewish doctor. If one doctor says that he needs, and the other doctor says he doesn't need, we also violate the Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because it's a suffix, at the very least, it's a doubtful situation. One doctor says it's critical, the other doctor says that it's not, but you have one opinion saying it's critical, so we have to violate the Shabbos. So we see from here that this is item Vav in the notes, we see from here that we rely on a doctor at least to create a suffix. You don't see from these halachas that we rely on medical expertise that it's a bona fide fact. We see from these halachas, these gemaras, that we rely on the medical advice to create a doubt. Because when it comes to pikuach nefesh, we can even violate Shabbos and Yom Kippur even on a doubt. So it's not necessary to totally take the doctor's opinion as fact. The fact that he's being ma'orer, the fact that he's bringing to our attention that it could be, it might be a sakana, would already justify violating the Shabbos. So these halachas here show us that we listen to the doctor, but it would not necessarily show us that we take his opinion as a fact. Now, there's a very interesting story in the Gemara, in Maseches Sanhedrin. It's talking about if a judge makes a mistake, a Jewish judge that is, he makes a mistake, can he reverse his decision, or is the decision final and the judge himself might have to compensate the litigants for his mistake, but he can't reverse the case? So the Gemara gives us an example. Maisa b'para, there was once a cow, and someone brought a cow before Rav Tarfon. Shenitla ha'em shela, the uterus was removed from the cow. So the cow had undergone a surgery by the veterinarian, and the uterus was removed from the cow while the cow was alive. And then the cow was sewed back up. There was some surgery going on even back then. They had a successful surgery that the uterus was removed from the cow. So Rav Tarfon paskind that the cow is treif, because the cow could certainly not live without a uterus. It's a treifa. It's missing one of its organs, one of the internal organs. So Rav Tarfon ruled that the cow is treif. Hechila Rav Tarfon leklavim. Rav Tarfon instructed the owner of the cow that the cow is worthless because it's treif. You might as well just shech the cow or whatever and throw the cow to the dogs. That's what Rav Tarfon ruled, because Rav Tarfon held the cow as treif. Bo maisa lefnei chachamim biyavne. Now, when this story reached the chachamim in Yavne, that was the Sanhedrin, hetiruha. They permitted the cow. They said the cow is not treif, because the uterus is not a critical organ. So we talked once when the chicken was found without a heart. We talked about that last time. So that's obviously a critical organ. We know that if one of the kidneys is removed, it doesn't make the person a treif. We know the person could survive with only one kidney. Each organ is different. So the fact that the uterus was removed from the cow does not render the cow a treifa. She'omar tudis harofei, because there was a doctor, tudis, who informed us, ein para v'chazira yoytzis malachzandria shel mitzrayim, ele'im kein choytchem ho'em shalom. So Tudis HaRofe informed the sages that I'll prove to you that an animal can live without a uterus, because every time Egypt, Alexandria of Mitzrayim, every time they export a cow or a pig, they must have been great exporters in livestock. So Rashi explains there that they had tremendous quality stock. They had tremendous quality cows and tremendous quality pigs that they were able to produce. They didn't want someone to go and steal their product. So if you would purchase a cow or a pig from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, they would first render it infertile. They would remove the uterus in order that you shouldn't develop your own herd of animals. And you can buy this one, but you're not going to be able to reproduce them. That way, the customers will have to come back to Egypt to buy more. So Tudis HaRofe testified before the court, before the Beis Din, that of course the animal can live because it's done daily. The animals are exported from Egypt and their uterus is removed. Unless they wouldn't sell it unless they would remove the uterus, kadesh shaloi tail it, in order that it shouldn't reproduce. So Rav Tarfon says, Holcha chamorcha Tarfon. Rav Tarfon says about himself, I'm going to lose my donkey. I'm going to have to sell my donkey to reimburse the litigant, because I told him to throw his cow to the dogs, and it turns out that the cow is perfectly kosher. The cow could live perfectly well without a uterus. It happens daily when they export the animals from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. The halacha there was actually Rav Tarfon did not have to reimburse, because it was such a blatant mistake that it wasn't even considered a ruling. It was such an open mistake that the owner of the cow should have double checked before. It's an interesting halacha there, but if the ruling is so blatantly wrong, then it doesn't even have the status that the judge even affected any kind of ruling, and actually Rav Tarfon was exempt. But we see from here that we rely on the chachma of the roifim, of the experts, of the veterinarian, that it's not a problem. The cow is considered kosher, even though it's missing a uterus. Lahatir iser treifas. Now, this would be an example that we rely on medical expertise as a fact. It wouldn't be enough to say maybe it's kosher. We wouldn't be able to eat the cow on a maybe. It must be that we rely on medical expertise and we take it as a fact. If science has discovered, if doctors have discovered that an animal could live without a uterus, then we're prepared to take that as fact. And this is actually one of the things listed in the Mishnayos that it's not considered to be a treifa. The next couple of cases have to do with Hilchas Nida, which is an area where a woman is menstruating that renders her a Nida. Back in the times of the Gemara in the Beis HaMikdash, it would make her Tameh. She wouldn't be allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. She wouldn't be allowed to eat Truma or Kachim. Nowadays, we know that the halacha we have left from Hilchas Nida is the prohibition to the husband. Hilchas Nida. So very often in Hilchas Nida, if a woman finds a stain, we have to identify the source of the stain. we're not just always strict no matter what. We have to identify the source of the stain. So it comes up very often in Hilchos Nida that a doctor's advice could be relied upon to determine the source of the blood. Not every blood that the woman sees is uterine blood. It might be coming from another source. So the Mishnah, in Maseches Nida, Chaf Beis Amud Beis, we have a Gemara. Omar Rabbi Lazar Rab Tzadok. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rab Tzadok, says, Shnei Maisim Hela Abba Mitivin LiYavne. There were two stories that Abba brought from Tivin to Yavne before the sages of Yavne. Maisa B'Isha, there's a story with a woman, regarding a woman, Shehaisa Mapeles Kimin Klipois Adumois, that she was finding, maybe she was finding it in the urine, maybe she was finding it as a stain, she was finding klipois adumois, like red scabs in that area, like red pellets of some sort. And she was afraid that it was dam. Maybe it's considered dam nidus. Even dry blood, even if the blood comes out dry, the woman is rendered a nida. So what's the source of this dam? I never saw this kind of dam before. Is this dam uterine blood? Is it considered dam nidus? Or is this something else? So she was finding klipois adumois, red like scabs. She didn't know what it was. Ubo v'shalu es abba. So they asked my father, v'abba shalu chachamim, and my father asked the chachamim asked the doctors. V'amru lehem, and the doctors declared, ishazu maka yesh lavatech me'eha, this woman must have a wound in her intestines, in her internal organs. Maybe it was kidney stones. Maybe it was some other stone that was like that. Shemimena mapelas klipois. That's what's causing these klipois. That's what's causing these solid pieces of what appears to be red, appears to be blood. We don't know what it is. The doctors were declaring that it's not regular menstrual blood. It's not uterine blood. Rather, it's just klipois adumois. It's coming from a wound. Maybe it was a kidney stone. So the Gemara says, tata lamayim. So put these red stones, these red pieces of organic material into warm water. If it melts, then you know that it's blood and she'll be tummy. If not, then she could rely that she's tahar, that this is not uterine blood after all. She can rely that it's something else. Another similar story. There was a similar story that a woman was experiencing cyrus adumais, red hair-like pieces of organic material. Uba v'shoala es abba, abba shoala chachamim, chachamim l'roifim. And the doctor said, shuma yesh lavetech miyeha. She has some kind of a mole, some kind of a wound in her intestines, in her body. Shemimena mapelas kimin cyrus. That's what's causing this organic material that resembles the strands of hair, whatever these pieces were. Uba v'shoala es abba, v'abba shoala chachamim. The doctor said that it was a shuma. So again, it was the same psak, tatil amayim, put it into warm water in the moichu tmeya, and if they melt, if they dissolve, then you know that it was just hardened blood and she'll be tameh. Otherwise, we can assume that she's tahar, she's not tameh, because these things are not blood after all. Now, again, the Gemara is a mixed message, because the Gemara tells us that the sages asked the doctor, and on the other hand, it says that the sages required that these pellets were put into warm water to melt. And if they would have melted, then the sages would have declared her tame. They would have assumed that it's ordinary uterine blood that was dry, that was hardened. So the Kshuvas HaRush, the Rush, one of the big paiskim, the father of the Tur, back in the 12 and 1300s, one of the early Rishonim, he actually asked a contemporary, the Rashba. So very often in the Kshuvas HaRush, you have a correspondence between the Rush and the Rashba. It's a fascinating correspondence. The Rush posed the question to the Rashba. Hiksha HaRush LaHaRashba. Kashali, Kivin Shabo Machmas Maka. If the doctor said that it was a wound, Amai Tmeya, then why does it say they have to test it and put it into the warm water, and if it melts, she's Tamei? If the doctor said that it came from a wound, if the doctor said it was a kidney stone or something, doesn't it say in Perikola Yad, doesn't it say in the second chapter of Nida, Haroya Dam Machmas Maka, that if the blood is coming from a Maka, Afilu B'toich Yimei Nidasa Tahoira, Divrei Rebbe, even if the blood is coming during the time when she would otherwise be a Nida, even on the day of her vest, even on the day of her expected period, If she knows she has a maka, then that blood is not uterine blood. It's blood from a maka. So not only if there's a wound in the vaginal canal, is that not considered uterine blood? That's obviously not uterine blood. But even if there's a wound, some sort of internal wound in the woman's body, in the uterus wall, or somewhere further deeper than that, and there's blood from the womb passing through the body, that's not dam nidus. So the Rush is struggling with this Gemara in Nida. What's going on? You asked the doctor. The doctor told you that it doesn't look like it doesn't seem to be uterine blood because it doesn't come out that way. It doesn't come out as klipos or as sinus. So it's not uterine blood. The doctor said it's not. So why does the Gemara require to put it in warm water, and if it melts, she's tamei, and if not, not? If you trust the doctor, then why are you testing the stones? And if you don't trust the doctor, why did you ask the doctor to begin with? So the Rush basically asks the Rashba, what should we take out from this Gemara? And the Rush, interestingly enough, the Rashba and the Rush do not really answer this question. They seem to leave the Gemara like in a state of confusion. We don't know what to make of the Gemara, because on the one hand, they asked the doctor, but on the other hand, it doesn't seem like they relied on the doctor's advice. Now, we're going to soon see from the Chassam Sofer, we could really fall back on what we said before, that in Hilchos Yom Kippur and Hilchos Shabbos, we took the doctor's opinion, but we didn't take it as a fact. We took the doctor's opinion into consideration, and we created a suffix from that. So that could be what the Gemara is saying. And we're going to soon see that the Chassam Sofer says something along those lines, that the medical opinion was taken into consideration, and now we can do the test, and if the stone doesn't melt in the warm water, so then we can assume that the doctor was right. So it could be that it's a combination of the medical opinion and the facts on the ground that the pellet didn't melt. We're gonna soon see that the Chassam Sofer says something like that. So the Kshuvas HaRash asked the Rashba, and it didn't seem like it came out with a clarity. There's another fascinating Shiloh. It's called the Roya Machmas Tashmish. Roya Machmas Tashmish means that a woman has a period whenever she has the intercourse, whenever she has intimacy with her husband. Somehow, it's some kind of a strange condition where the intercourse itself would trigger a period. Now, this is a serious problem, because that means that the husband and the wife can't live together as husband and wife, because every time the husband is with his wife, it triggers a period, a re'iyah. So that's a big problem. So the Gemara discusses how if a woman ever thinks that she saw as a result of the tashmish, there would be a certain test, and they'd have to wait. You don't want to create a chazaka. If it happens three times in a row, so then that's going to establish that the woman is a roya machmas tashmish, that she sees as a result of the relations, and that could be a big problem for the future of the marriage. Roya Machmas Tashmish.
Why do they conclude that in that case where intercourse causes bleeding, that it's an injury to the, you know, to the anatomy, as opposed to being, are they saying that she actually get down from the uterus?
Yeah, we're talking about when she actually got down from the uterus. The Gemara has actually an elaborate test where they would put a tube into the area and try to determine if the blood is coming from the sides, from the tzadin, where it's coming from the actual cervix, from the uterus. Maybe it's some kind of incompetent uterus or some incompetent cervix that the pressure, it can't withstand the pressure. We're talking about a case where it was established that the blood is coming from the uterus, and we ruled out the possibility that there's just a superficial wound in the vaginal canal or something like that. Now, Roya Machmas Tashmish. So says the Gemara, that if it happens three times in a row, that establishes a chazaka, and that could be grounds to have to get divorced. Nebuch. Now, each time we're choshish, each time we're concerned that the woman will see machmas tashmish. Now, it says in Shulchan Aruch like this, there could be a cure for this. Maybe the woman can take certain hormones. Maybe the woman can take certain herbs. There's actually a Gemara where the doctor like crept up to the woman from behind and startled her, and then something fell, some organic material fell out of the woman because she was startled. So it actually happens that sometimes after a woman has a baby, so sometimes there's some pieces left behind in the uterus, and that can cause spotting and that can cause bleeding. So nowadays we can do a DNC, we can remove those, we can remove and clean the uterus lining. But in the times of the Gemara, this woman obviously has some incompetency in her uterus, and the tashmish is triggering a re'ia. So the Gemara talks about there were possible cures. The Gemara discusses ayin hara, like metaphysical cures. The Gemara discusses having herbs or strengthening the body. And the Gemara actually discusses like causing the woman to be startled, and she'll actually expel something from the body. So the Gemara talks about all different types of cures, ranging from the metaphysical to things that are easier to understand. So imagine if a doctor would come along and say that he has treated the woman, and in his opinion, she's cured. So the Shulchan Aruch actually talks about this in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin Halacha Ches. Im tirtza lehesrapos. This is a quote from Shulchan Aruch and Ayin Yud. If the woman wants to be cured from this, so the Shulchan Aruch brings the first opinion, which is the Shita of the Baal HaTshuma, an early commentary. Sarach shiyeh koydim shetischazik. You have to be cured. You have to go to the doctor and resolve the issue before a chazaka is established. Once the chazaka is established, once it happened three times that the three episodes of intimacy triggered a ria, then it's established. It's going to be much harder to overturn the established fact. But before it was established, so that means it happened once, it happened twice, we can still write it off as a fluke. It wasn't established in the woman's body. So then the halacha is that the doctor could be trusted to say that she's cured and she'll be allowed to be with her husband again. And then I guess we'll see what happens the next time. You can rely on the fact that she's cured, at least for now. But after she has a chazaka, says the Baal HaTshuma, then yesh mistapkin. So then it's not so simple if you can rely on a doctor to be mishamish. We're talking about a case where it was already established. If it was already established, so she's forbidden to risk being with her husband because we think it'll trigger a ria. Now, by the way, the whole concept of vestis, the whole concept that the woman has a pattern or a tendency is only rabbinic because the human body is so intricate and so balanced and so subject to change that the whole concept that the woman is going to see with any regularity at all, we're only required to concern ourselves with that on a rabbinic level. Midoraisa, we paskin vestis are only derabbanan. If a woman does have a tendency to see every 30 days, or she has a tendency to see machmas tashmish, it's only a rabbinic concern. On a deraisa level, we wouldn't have to be concerned that it'll happen again. There's not enough evidence. The fact that it happens every time is an incredible thing. The fact that it happens every time does not project that it's going to happen again, because the woman's body is so subject to change that you can't establish a precedent. That's on a deraisa level. But on a derabbanan level, we hold that the chazaka, the vest, the time that she sees, is we hold that this sort of thing is a vest. Nevertheless, the Sefer Truma, the Baal HaTshuma, says that once it was established, then it's not so simple that you can rely on the medical expertise to be mishamish. We're still concerned, she'll see. However, Yesh Mishamater, the Shulchan Aruch says there are those who permit it if you have a Roife Yisrael. If a Jewish doctor declares her cured, then she's allowed to try again with her husband. Obviously, if it happens again, it'll be a problem, but the Jewish doctor would be relied upon to give them another chance. That would be the opinion of the Ritzbah. If Nisrapis, the Imtira Ho'isha Shaposak Damvest, however, there's another caveat, that if the woman sees herself that whatever the doctor did, it created changes in her body, and she no longer has her normal period. So it's almost like it's clear that whatever the doctor did accomplished something. So then you can even rely on the non-Jewish doctor's advice to try again, because she definitely saw that the doctor accomplished something. So here we have an example. Before the chazaka is established, you can rely on the medical opinion. After the chazaka is established, some say you can't rely on the opinion. Some say you can rely on the Jewish medical opinion. And some say that if she sees clear evidence that something was effective, think she can even rely on the non-Jewish doctor in order to try to be with her husband again. So we see here again an idea of relying to a certain extent on the doctor's opinion. Now we have to figure out, like I mentioned before, that there are two issues at stake. Number one, relying on recognizing that there's medical expertise in general, right? Are we allowed to recognize the fact that it's possible to cure? So that we do. We do recognize the fact it's possible to cure. The second issue at stake is the nemunis, the credibility of this particular doctor. And that's what would decide why there's a difference between a Jewish doctor and a non-Jewish doctor. We're not saying that the Jewish doctor is necessarily a greater expert than the non-Jewish doctor, but that's already a credibility issue. Now, comes along the Chassam Sofer in Tshuva Kuf Ayin Hei that this question was posed to the Chassam Sofer to give a practical ruling. So the Chassam Sofer said that from the Gemara that we mentioned earlier, the woman who was seeing the kidney stones, from the Gemara that we saw earlier, the Rush, remember the Rush asked the question that are we relying on the doctor or not? If the doctor ruled that it was from a makkah, if the doctor ruled that it's from some internal injury like a kidney stone, why are we testing? Why are we testing? So says the Chassam Sofer that we see from here that we rely on the doctor b'derech klal. We rely on the doctor in general, that there is such a concept. But on this particular guf, we don't necessarily rely and we have to check. So the Chassam Sofer says, because all the idea of the doctor is general, is speculative, and even a Jewish doctor, it's only based on assessment and assumption. It's never considered a definite fact, and it'll only help that there's a general thing. So that's how the Chassam Sofer understands the Gemara, that it only helps in a general, that there is such a thing as a makkah inside, but that this woman herself is not having a re'iyah, that's why we have to test the kidney stone. So the Chassam Sofer is answering the Rush's question. Why is it that we ask the doctor, but then at the same time, we had to test the kidney stone if it's really blood or not? That's because we'll trust the doctor that there is such a fact, there is such a phenomena of an internal injury, but with this particular woman, to rely on this particular case, we're going to have to do our own bidika birurim as much as we can. Just give me a minute, I'm just going to plug in my computer because it's done.
Yeah, the Rosh Kol sound is coming at times, going in and out.
Yeah, it's not such a stable. My computer, I think, is a little bit on the brink. Let me just plug it in now. Let me do a little bit. Okay, I apologize. It's a little bit on the blink. Okay, now in the this that says the Chassam Sofer, this that the Ritzbah did not want to rely on a non-Jewish doctor once she established the Chazaka. So the Chassam Sofer says something very interesting. He says because every doctor wants to be successful, and very often a doctor will pat himself on the back and he'll declare it a successful intervention or a successful cure, even before he himself is sure. The Chassam Sofer's expression is, they're misparim. They like to glorify themselves. They want to add another case to their resume. So they sometimes like brag that they were successful. And if it doesn't end up being successful, they say, well, maybe something happened, maybe something developed subsequently. So very often it's possible that a doctor will sort of like prematurely declare the person cured, even before the person is actually cured. So a Jewish doctor would be believed, but a non-Jewish doctor, of course, we rely on his expertise to inform us that such a phenomena exists, but that's why the Chassam Sofer says, that's why the Ritzbah was more reluctant to rely on a non-Jewish doctor for this particular case. When we talk about Jewish versus non-Jewish, we really are talking about sincere, trustworthy, observant. We're talking, it doesn't matter if the person actually is Jewish, the person has to be a trustworthy person who we can trust, who's a Yorei Shamayim. That's how the Chassam Sofer says it. Now, the Tosfos HaRosh, not the Tshuvos HaRosh, in the Tshuva, in his responsa, so he was struggling with the Gemara in Nida, but actually in the Tosfos HaRosh, which is a commentary on the Gemara itself, it seems like the Rosh came up with an answer for the Gemara. So the Rosh says the following. He answers the question. He says here in item Yud Dalid, The answer, you know why we had to check the pellets, the kidney stones, even after the doctor ruled that she has a wound inside, she has some sort of internal injury? Because the doctor himself wasn't sure if that was the case. The doctor said it's possible that she has an internal injury. That's why we had to test the pellets on top of the doctor's advice, the doctor's opinion, because the doctor himself was speculating that might be what it was. So you see from here in the Tosfos HaRosh that had the doctor been sure, then we would have been able to rely on his advice without testing the stones. So it's very interesting because the Gemara says we asked the doctor, but then we still did our own testing. The Tosfos HaRosh asks, why do you have to do your own testing once you ask the doctor? Tosfos HaRosh didn't give an answer. He asked this question to the great Rashba. It doesn't sound like they had an answer. The Chasam Sofer goes ahead and says, because we rely on their opinion that there's such a phenomena, but we're not going to rely on their opinion in this specific case. We want to try to search and be mavayer and clarify it for ourselves. The Rosh himself, in his Tosfos HaRosh, in his commentary on the Gemara, says, no, we would have relied on the doctor had the doctor said definitively. The doctor was only speculating that, you know, I know there's such a condition. Maybe that's the woman's condition. That's why we went through the test and we said that if the pellet doesn't dissolve, plus we have the medical knowledge now that such a thing is possible, that's why we permit the woman. But had the doctor been sure, then it seems, according to the Tosfos HaRosh, that we would not have required any further testing. So it would seem from here that the Rosh in his Tosfos, in his commentary on the Gemara, holds that we would completely rely on the doctor's knowledge, even to be lenient and to declare the woman clean without further testing. So to sum up, the Shiurei Shevet HaLevi, Rav Shmuel Vosner, he says in Hilchos Nida, Kuf Pei Zayin, Sif Ches, he's Machriya. He basically comes to a conclusion. He makes a decision that if the doctor is saying something as a speculation, that this can be the case, like he's aware of such a condition, but he doesn't know for sure if that's the condition of this particular woman. So then it creates a suffix. If it creates a suffix, so then it'll have the consequences of a suffix. We'll feed the person on Yom Kippur. We'll violate the Shabbos. We'll do further testing for the woman. We'll see if the woman feels like something was effective, and we'll give it another chance because it creates a suffix. And we'll combine it with our own check as best, the best of our knowledge. But if the doctor says with certainty that something was cured and something is resolved, then they would be believed. And says Rav Shmuel, says Rav Shmuel Vosner, that something that could be seen today, we have sonograms today, there's peer review, there's Leiraya Umnasa, he doesn't want to lose his reputation. Nowadays, where things can be verified, so that the expression is, it's avida legluye. Anything that could be verified, anything that you can get a second opinion, and it can be easily verified, so then the doctor would be trusted. Like imagine if you go to the dentist says you have a cavity or you need dental work, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars. So do we trust the doctor or not? So nowadays, these things can be easily verified. So we would trust the doctor. Just to end off with an interesting thing, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Nida that in a way, you cannot compare the statistics of a non-Jew to a Jew. And the Gemara says, because we have different lifestyles. The Gemara says, non-Jews eat shkatzen and ramashim. They eat non-kosher food. So that could affect the way the body works. Jewish people eat kosher food. Non-Jewish people don't have the anxiety over fulfilling the mitzvahs. They don't have to finish saying Kriya Shema by a certain time. They don't have to be finished on Friday, ready for Shabbos at a certain time. They don't have to fast in Yom Kippur. There are certain anxieties that the non-Jewish people don't have. The Jewish people, we have to worry about paying tuition for yeshiva. We have to worry about doing mitzvahs. We have to worry about fulfilling the mitzvahs in the proper time. So this could actually change the makeup of the person. So the Gemara says, the Gemara gives a particular example. The Gemara says that also related to Hilchos Nida, the Gemara says, and this is also a medical fact, that the sperm in the woman's body is viable for 3 days. That means that the woman can actually conceive 3 days after intercourse because the sperm has a shelf life of 3 days in the woman's body. It also has relevance for the laws of tumah because viable sperm makes the person tameh if you touch the sperm. So the Gemara says, but can you compare a non-Jewish body with a Jewish body? Because the chemical makeup is different because they're under different stresses, they eat different foods. So the Poskim actually entertain the notion that you can't always compare the statistics from one culture to another, and it could actually have a difference in the psak, in the medical outcome of a case. And we know that that's the case, that in different countries, there's different life expectancies and things of that nature based on the various cultures. The Gemara actually points this out, a Jew versus a non-Jew. Okay, Yasha Koyach, if anybody has any comments or anything to share.
I posted a question on the chat there about the standard of expert testimony, medical expert testimony is, in a civil case, to a reasonable degree of medical certainty.
Right. So basically, right. So that's exactly that. That's really what the Chassam Sofer says, that the doctor is believed that such a phenomena exists, right? If the doctor finds out such a phenomena exists, but he might not be relied upon that that's the case in this particular situation. So that's it establishes a phenomena, but it won't necessarily be a fact over here. But Rav Shmuel Vosner says that nowadays that it's easily verifiable. We can take it as fact.
The other point, when we started, and Rishol said that the doctor's opinion is enough to create a suffix.
That's for sure. Hill Shabbos, right? Hill Shabbos, Bikuach Nefesh.
So would the rule be where they create a suffix, and we have the opportunity to be mavara the suffix? That's why we'll test, like Kripos of the Dom.
Right, exactly. That's how the Chassam Sofer understood it. That it was talking about the doctor was not. We're not going to rely on the doctor with certainty for this particular case, but he informs us of the phenomena, and now we can test them. Had it not been for the doctor, we would not have been aware of this phenomena. So then, even if the stones don't dissolve, we would have to assume that it's dry blood. But the doctor can inform us of this phenomena, and then we can combine that. We can be mitzaref that with the test. But the Tosfos HaRosh says that had the doctor declared definitively that that's what this is, it wouldn't even be necessary to test.
This conference is no longer being recorded.
Shkoyach, 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 shkoyach.